Brachos ke'evet enishan mitnei b'shnei rabo. The kibul pras mi rabo, that after the servant receives something from his master, so he doesn't just exit, but says some kind of, he takes his leave from the master, says goodbye. So these three brachos of ritzei and modin, known as the bracha of hodah, and the bracha of sim shalom, are the brachos where one takes leave from the a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the tefillah. And we mentioned that the Rambam uses a different terminology in expressing that these three brachos are referred to as the brachos of Hodah. And we mentioned the difficulty that some of the Mefarshim have, that how could the last three brachos be referred to by the Rambam as Hodah when two out of the three are really additional requests. The bracha of Ritzei is a request that we should find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our tefillos as well, and the last bracha is a bracha for peace, is a request for peace, it's a bakasha, and it's only really the middle bracha where we ask for nothing, where we only praise Hashem, we thank Hashem. So that's a riddle that has different answers. I think the most popular answer that's given is based on a Tosfos. I don't think he's directly addressing this question, but based on his answer, it might answer this question too. And that is that in answering the difficulty that the Rishonim had with the insertion of the extra tefillos that we recite during the Aseres Me'etshuva, because normally the rule is that you're not allowed to insert the personal requests or additional requests within the first three brachos and the last three brachos. You could only insert those in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. So how is it that the minhag developed to add in the extra phrases of Zachreinu and Michamocha and Uchsov, etc., and of the Sefer Chaim? So I think Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam in answering that when the Rabbim need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the greatest of praises, the fact that they recognize that they're all dependent on Hashem. So by asking for additional things as a tzibur, that's a praise of Hashem. So perhaps, I think I once heard such an answer, that maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. That just as Tosfos says that about the additional statements that we say during the Aseres Me'etshuva, so that's also true with respect to the fact that on the one hand we ask Hashem that we should find favor in His eyes, that's ritzei, and we ask Hashem that He should give us peace, so that itself is a form of praise. How so? Because we declare the fact that we're totally dependent on Hashem. In a similar way, Rabbi Monk, in the world of prayer, the Olam HaTfilos, I think originally was published in French, is that true? I think originally printed in French. I think it was the Rav in Paris. Rabbi Braunschweig, father-in-law, as far as I know, first father-in-law, Rabbi Braunschweig, who was a teacher here in Landis College. Rav Monk has an interesting shot. I'm going to paraphrase a bit because it's been a while since I saw it. He says the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei is where we define who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with respect to us. We can't really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the way it relates to the world. So the first three brachos deal with aspects of Hashem's relating to the world. He's a Gomel Chesed, that's the first bracha. He's all powerful, he's Mechayim Meisim, and he's Ata Kadosh, he's unknowable. And he's holy, and he doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need anything. Kadosh implies separation. And in the last three brachos, where we're expressing in the language of the Gemara, we're saying goodbye to the master, so we remind ourselves who we are. Ke'evet haniftar b'fnei rabo. And who are we? So that's what he explains. Those are those three brachos. We'd say we're in constant need of your favor. Modim, we are totally dependent on you, we admit that everything we have is from you, and Shalom, in other words, we're so dependent that without peace we can't function. We need harmony in our lives, and that's all from you. So that's another attempt at trying to somehow link these seemingly different themes that somehow are supposed to be unified in saying goodbye to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the tefillah. Truth to be told, I'm looking for something more satisfying to my own mind. I'm looking for something better, especially for the Rambam's phraseology. The Rambam, when he calls all these brachos hodah, So maybe that's based on Rav Monk's interpretation. If you explain, it's an admission that we're all dependent on Hashem. But why isn't that true for all the other brachos too? Why after these three? So, I'm not sure. I throw that out as an open question. But be that as it may, these three brachos have come down to us with two titles. The title of the Gemara, that these are the brachos of Preda, where the Eved is Nifter, the Shnei Rabo, he says goodbye to his master. And the Rambam refers to these brachos as Hodah. But certainly and unmistakably, the bracha that we're about to discuss today, the bracha of Modim, is actually about Hodah. So, what is Hodah? So, although there are other interpretations that are given, and we'll spell it out during the shiur today, but I think we could suggest that this is not my own idea, but I want to plug it into the bracha in a certain way, that the word hodah has two complementary meanings, and this is already noted by Rav Schwab in his presentation on tefillah, as well as the Ian tefillah in the in modern Hebrew. So when you want to say thank you, so you say todah. And it's certainly true that in the language of Tanakh, that the phrase is sometimes used having to do with praise. It doesn't only mean to admit. So you don't have to check throughout Tanakh whether it ever means to admit in Tanakh. But it certainly does mean to thank or to praise in some way in Tanakh. And just to quote one example quoted here by the Ian Tzilas in Divrei Hayomim, we actually say it in Vayvorach David. Okay, Mizmor Soda, you don't have to go too far, right? But what does it mean there? What is a carbon toda? Im al todo yakivenu. What does toda there mean? Does it mean thanks or does it mean admit? Now we know the Mesorah, Mesorah Shabbal Peh, that carbon toda is brought when someone is somehow thanking Hashem. But maybe there it means admit. So, but it's certainly true. It certainly be a good proof. I didn't even think about it. So it's an obvious usage of it. But at least in the verb form, so we have in the Vayivarach David that we recite in the Sukkot Zimra. So this part is at least taken from Divrei Yamin. So what do we say there? Modim Lach, right? Let's get the exact phrase here. And now our God, Modim Anachnu Lach U'Mahalalim L'Shem Tifartecha. Now, if it would mean admit, they should have the content of admission. We admit that what? So, and also by parallel to the second half, Modim Anachnu Lach U'Mahalalim L'Shem Tifartecha. So we something to you, and we praise your splendorous name. So from context, it sounds like that it's not something having to do with praise. So, it's fair to say, and I think the proof in the carbon toda is a very direct one as well, that the word modin means thank. Thank / praise. The exact difference between shevach and hodah, I think the Rav developed in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. I think he quoted from the Beit Brisk that the shevach is general praise of Hashem and hodah is for a specific event. You receive the Torah, so you give hodah. So it's more specific, more specific praise. Not just general praise, but praise because. So we give shevach hodah on the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so hodah is because we went out. And shevach in general, because that allowed us to recognize more of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with relationship to the world. However, certainly the more common usage of the term modin in the language of the Mishnah and the Gemara, and here I have to take a look at the Concordantia whether it ever explicitly means that in Pesukim in Tanakh. I'm just taking the Ion Tfilah's lead, and I note that when he's trying to bring a proof that modin means to admit, which we're going to get to right now, so he quotes Gemaros and Mishnayos. When he tries to bring a proof that modin means to thank, he quotes Tanakh. So I wonder whether maybe this idea of modim in the sense of admission is not explicitly used in Tanakh. Maybe it's only in the Mishnah and Gemara. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to research this, but there certainly would pay to check that out. But be that as it may, the commentators in the Siddur, again, both the Ian Tzilas of Gordon and Rav Schwab, both note that we cannot deny the fact that modim has come down to us with two meanings. And even though the Avodah already pretty much laid the ground rules that the most of the Siddur is written in the language of Tanakh, and therefore we would generally be more in tune with the kavana of the authors of the Shemona Esrei to seek out biblical parallels to the usage of the verbs and the nouns, etc. But we cannot deny that certainly certain Mishnaic and Gemara usages of verbs and nouns have crept into the Siddur. And that's just to quote one of them. Again, I'm not a linguist, and my etymological skills are limited. But the word noeh, I'm going to get into trouble now because I'm taking the Ian Fields word for it. The word noeh, he says, is not a biblical word. It's based on nova, manovu alaharim, etc. We speak about, you know, when you speak about beauty, you have, you know, your fast Torah, your fast Mara, yofe, that you have in Tanakh. But noeh, it's a Mishnaic word. Mishnaic, a Gemara word. And there are others too. It's certainly true that the core of Tfilah is written in the biblical language. But there are Mishnaic and Gemara usages. Maybe I'm going on an unnecessary tangent, but assuming that the word admit of modin doesn't really appear in Tanakh, so then how could I, as I'm about to do, translate this phrase as I admit? So I'm just trying to give a proof for that even though most of it is biblical Hebrew, but we cannot deny that there are certain nuances of meaning that sometimes that the Siddur does use the Mishnaic and the Gemara.
The whole parsha vidui, but
is that the same shoresh? The verb is levados.
Levados.
Yeah, so probably etymologically, like Rav Hirsch, you know, he, with his whole, you know, verb system, so he's going to link them all together. But it's not quite the verb modin, as far as I can tell. But okay. that's a good point. It's certainly very temptingly etymologically related, but I assume it's somewhat different, yeah.
Isn't the two meaning related? There is the expression of kafui Torah, when somebody getting something good and he's not telling thank you, because yeah. He's not even recognizing that yeah. He got something. So
right,
Moedim, I admit that I get something and therefore I'm telling thank you.
Right, very good. So I want to develop the point as well. So the Mefarshim already point out that as Ryan just mentioned, that those two meanings are linked, of course. Because when we speak about admitting, and we speak about thanking, so thanking is basically admitting the fact that you received something. And the way I like to say it over to, in my class, that I probably got this from somewhere else. I'm sure I read it somewhere, heard it from somewhere. That, let's say, the Chovos HaLevavos develops the idea that Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the good, there again you have that. Hakaras HaTov means saying thank you, it also means recognition of, more like an admission of. It's one of the fundamental principles of all the whole religious experience, that we recognize the good that Hashem has given us. And I believe he even develops the theme that the more you receive, so the more you owe. So that means that Klal Yisrael receives more from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they have more mitzvot. Even though, of course, the nations of the world said no. But the bottom line is that Klal Yisrael receives more benefit from Hashem Yisbaruch. He made them into a nation, and he constantly guides them and protects them much more than the other nations of the world. So they owe him more, and they express that debt of gratitude through the mitzvot. Kohanim receives more of an opportunity to be near to Kadosh Baruch Hu by Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So they have more mitzvot as well. I'm not sure if this is actually in the Chovos HaLevavos, but it's certainly a popular expression that appears in Sifrei Musar, that one who's not a Makir Tov is the equivalent of a Kofer. You're basically denying Hashem. So it also highlights that idea of the interrelationship between Hodah in terms of admission and Hodah in terms of thank you. Then I was thinking about it. When I was learning that idea, I think you have to add a little bit, because who is it that, in other words, are we talking about, like, it's not to not thank Hashem. What do you mean? That's not right from what perspective? It's the way we feel, and how is the way we feel made? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us our whole emotional, intellectual abilities. So what we have then, even though I don't think the Chovos HaLevavos expressed this way, but I think that's what he means, is that our Creator implanted within us a natural tendency to want to thank and express appreciation and act towards someone who has given to us. And by implanting that attitude within us, so that allows Avodas Hashem to be something that the human being wants to do, and is not this cumbersome burden That as long as they're studying properly and have their eyes on straight, and they think deeply about the world, then it's going to be something they want to do and not just forced to do, because they have a feeling of Akaras HaTov within them. And who implanted that feeling of Akaras HaTov within them? None other than Akaras Baruch Hu. Aitrig, right, exactly. Hashem wanted Avodas Hashem to be, which it represents true reality, to be, as I say, quote-unquote, easy as possible, because Avodas Hashem is not easy, but once one recognizes the truth, so then it becomes easy.
In other words, Akash Boko planted that lit us to come out voluntarily from ourselves.
Right, but he implanted that emotion. I mean, I think if you think deeply about it, there's no escaping that. See, well, it's not right to be ungrateful. But who's talking here? Your emotion and intellect, and who made those emotions and intellect? None other than Hashem. So he rigged it, so it's not fair. Yeah. He wanted it to be pleasant. So just like Hashem implanted within us certain feelings, we spoke about this last time, certain feelings of wanting to be Rachum and Chanun. In other words, feelings within us to want to emulate God because He implanted those feelings within us. They're not contrary to our nature, they're just expressing our nature. That said, so I think you cannot deny, although some people try to quell it, that when someone does something for you, so you want to be appreciative. And if you don't express that appreciation, so your conscience doesn't let you live. And there are two ways to deal with it. Either, as Ryan mentioned before, admit it, and therefore thank, or deny it. That's, I think, the Bali Machshava put it this way. I mean, this is the way I say it over, but I don't think it's my own idea. There are two ways to deal with this feeling of guilt that you owe somebody something. Either pay back the debt of gratitude by doing something for them, or at least verbally expressing your thankfulness, admitting the fact that they did do something for you, or deny the fact that they ever did anything for you, and therefore you don't have to live with the guilt.
But the normal middle ground may be minimize what they did. A verbal thank you.
Right, right, that's also. Okay, it's the same track of blending two together, but the denial, you're minimizing it in order to not do what your emotions really tell you have to do, which is do more than just thank you. No? Is that correct? So that's my pshat. When you sometimes try to tell a child that, you know, how could you act this way, but I did X, Y, Z. So the standard response is, it could be you did X, Y, Z, although probably that sentence doesn't come, but what about this that you didn't do? So what is that? Because I don't want to recognize that what you did for me, so therefore I will either minimize or ignore what you did for me, so I don't have to express the thing. I don't have to live with the guilt, because these are feelings that everyone has. So in the modim, we admit / thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are totally dependent on Him. Now exactly which nuance of meaning are we using, or I don't see any reason we can't say that we're using both. So that's a different commentary's note, that modem does mean two things, and it seems to me that the general thrust is to interpret modem as thank. But however, there are those who suggest it primarily means admit, and then has a secondary meaning of thank. I wanted to propose a theory. I don't think I saw this anywhere, but I would suggest the following, that in this bracha we have two modems. We have modem and achnuloch, and then a sentence later we have nodelecha. So, which is of course technically in the future, but in the context it seems to be more in the present. Rashi points out in Chumash that sometimes we use the future for the present. So, but there's a different preposition that's used in connecting it to the phrases afterwards. Modim anachnu loch sha atahu Hashem Elokeinu. That, which could also have been phrased as modim anachnu loch asher, same idea. And then we have nodelecha on spiritual secha al chayenu, as opposed to nodelecha on spiritual secha she chayenu. So I think we could suggest, I don't think I saw this anywhere, if I did, even better, so then I ask. The Pachad Yitzchak, there was. The modem sheh is I admit a fact.
Right.
I hope I'm going in the right direction. Modim anachnu loch she'ata Hashem Elokeinu. We admit that. This is the way we say it in English. Nodelecha al. Now in English we would say we thank you for. So in literal translation, we thank you on. So my suggestion is that in at least in the Siddur, and I think it's the same in modern Hebrew.
Brachas Sofer.
Yes.
Hold my focus from Sakan and Brachas Le and Al. Same idea possibly, right?
Okay, but there you don't have the modin, but you know, in terms of the usage of the different prepositions. So
yeah.
It seems to have a different dynamic there, whether you sometimes say Le Sate Patsitis Al Mitzitis. Right.
It's a long run there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Picking up on the different prepositions, but not in the context of modin, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To what?
The whole bracha.
Thanks.
Yeah. Right. But still, in terms of precisely translating the verb, my suggestion is that modim anachnu loch sheh is we are admitting the fact that Hashem exists, that He is our God, which implies many things. That He is our God, meaning that we are totally dependent on Him. So the admission is not just that God exists, but the fact that we are totally dependent on Him, because that's as the Rambam points out at the beginning of Yisodei Torah, that's the very definition of what we mean by Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem Yisbarach, that He's the existor, He creates and continues to create all of existence, and He's Elokeinu, He's our God. So, as Aaron pointed out before, of course they're linked. We admit that You are God, that means that we have to thank. So, Nodeh Lecha Al.
It's interesting that you admit the fact, you know, this the word, and you think straight, admit the fact.
Okay, yeah, but we see in the world that's a big avoda.
It looks like it's then once you're admitting the fact, it's in the belief knowledge range.
It's like people are mahadir trying to deny it.
In other words, the admission seems to be admit the fact. What do you mean admit? The fact's the fact. So the fact that you have to admit the fact means you're in the belief knowledge range.
Uh-huh. Meaning that it takes some doing to even
the
admit the fact.
And the mission makes it a knowledge.
I see. Okay. You're referring, I know, to a whole series of thoughts.
What you
say is
we recognize.
So you recognize. I would put that together with admission.
And then we thank.
And then we thank, right? So therefore, even though
we recognize you are the one of only
right.
that we are thanking.
Yeah, I think absolutely. As you noted before, it's like an introduction. We admit that you are Hashem, and therefore that leads to the conclusion that we have to thank for everything that you do for us. So if my theory is correct, I don't know if it's my theory, maybe it's somewhere else, but so then I'd have to atypically translate the very first tefillah, which is actually post Anshin Knesset Gedolah, but nonetheless has become very, very popular in Klal Yisrael. Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayom she'ech ezarta b'inish nasi. Even though it's against a lot of kids' songs, I admit before you that it is you who have returned my neshama. As opposed to the more generally translated, I thank you for returning my neshama. Mm-hmm. Now again, maybe my theory is wrong. So, and of course, as Aaron pointed out before, the admission and thanks are linked. Certainly in these contexts, so there's not so much of a difference. But if you want to be precise about it, this is my suggestion. So, if we go that route, so then the first phrase is we admit that you are Hashem, and that admission means not just that you exist, but that you are our Elokeinu, that you are the continued source of existence, and that you are developed a special relationship. You chose to forge a special relationship with Klal Yisrael. And then we proceed to say, and we thank you for our lives and our neshamas that are all and your miracles that you constantly perform.
Doesn't the Mosin in Gemara and Sota when it talks about the Mosin de Rabbanon, so there it uses the Lashon not as admission, but as gratitude.
How so?
It says, Mosin and Achalot, we're grateful to you that you made us so that we're grateful to you.
Al shenachnu modim lach.
Right.
At the end, Al shenachnu modim lach. We thank you that we are thankful to you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right. But if you take a look at the Rabbanon, which I didn't really come prepared to discuss, but I think we could divide that up too in terms of the different usages of the modim. Where do we have it here? Modi Manach begins, Modi Manach Sha'atu Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseinu. Is that similar to what we're saying? And then, at the end we say, Al Sha'an Modi Manach.
Yeah, but the Gemara there says that there are six different editions.
Right.
The most basic one is Modim Anach. It says Modim Anach Lach Al Sha.
Oh, that's the first one.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I have to check up the Gemara to remember it. Okay.
Also, wouldn't it be strange to be admitting to God now? We just went through the whole Shemona Esrei. Now we admit.
Yeah, but again, I don't think this is really. I don't think this is a declaration of Emunah. That's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is an admission that ultimately leads to thanks. We totally are in recognition is the better verb to use. We are totally in recognition of the fact that you are Hashem Elokein and all that implies, which that the basic declaration of faith, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, that we said earlier.
If you look at everything from Modim through Shalom as one unit, so to speak. You can say that modim is like the hakdama. It's not really a bracha.
Okay.
And because it's above a chibur, it's both al kulam and cholakayim. They're connected to.
Yeah, but that's clear. That's all one bracha, right?
Yeah.
That's all one bracha. Okay, so that's one direction. That's my own preferred direction. But the first one means admit. The second one means thanks. However, there are mefarshim who explain that both of them mean thanks. Backing up just for a moment, that which we said. Let's continue. If you say the first one means thanks, how do you translate it? Forget about the she'en al. Modim anachnu lach she'atu Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseinu. Okay, so use the verb thank, or recognize. No, recognize is admit. If you use the term thank, or praise, so how do you translate the...
Well, that's how they translate. We thank you for this you, who are Hashem, our God and God of the Father, forever and ever.
So what do they mean? So maybe it means the following. Modim anachnu lach. We are about to thank you. Why you and you alone? Because it's you who are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only to you, lecha noa lehodos, like the ending of the bracha. So you could translate it that way, with correct placement of commas. Modim anachnu lach. Why lach? Sh'atu Hashem Elokeinu. I remember, now you get a little deja vu here, when I came up with this whole approach here, so I look at the art scroll and say, "Well, wait a second." They're translating it as thank, and through manipulation of the next phrase, so that they can get away with that, right? By saying, "I don't mean an incorrect manipulation, but we thank you. Why? Because it is you, or Hashem. Maybe a little force." Now, Rav Schwab, though, and this is one second. Yeah, and this is also the approach to A.T. Yosef. This is Rav Zundel, the other main commentary here in the Eretz Tfilas. So they have the following very interesting translation by using modem to mean thank. It's not we thank you that you are God. Shkut. That's a meaningless statement. The stress is Sha'atahu Hashem Elokeinu, which can mean one of two things. Rav Schwab goes with the approach that you revealed yourself to the world, and you made the path of Emunah not something that only those of the caliber of Avraham Avinu would be able to arrive at. That's the way Rav Schwab translates it. That you revealed yourself. So it's a thanks, not that you exist. That's not relevant to thank Hashem for that he exists, but that you revealed yourself. I thought that if you're going to go the route of thanks, I thought that a simpler translation is the pshat given by the A.T. Yosef. And that is the stress not just on Hashem, but Hashem Elokeinu. Which, of course, is reminiscent of the very first bracha, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that even though HaKadosh Baruch was, of course, the God of the world, and the whole world of his creations, and as such, there's a certain ava that he expresses to the whole world, and he wants the whole world to reach perfection. But the bottom line is, for whatever reason, just to a large extent due to the refusal of the nations of the world to want to at least initially plug into this, and maybe later they will want to, but it'll be too late to forge this special relationship. But there was one nation that was chosen based on the decisions that were made by our ancestors to bring the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world and ultimately always maintain a special kesher with Hashem. So, Modim Anachon Loch, Shatu Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu. And that's also thanks. That's not just admission. And that's where the Eitz Yosef quotes the very beautiful psukim, Es Hashem Hemarta Hayom V'Hashem Hemircha Hayom in Chumash Dvarim. That you have designated Hashem as the one and only in your lives, and He has designated you as the one and only and in His world. Of course, the one and only meaning the unique nation. So if you have that translation, so you don't have to go the art scroll route, saying we admit to you because it is you who are God, but that we thank you because it is you our God, but we thank you for being our Hashem in a unique way. Okay, so time is late. Maybe next week we'll pick up with some extra themes and substance in the mode.
One English word might bridge the gap of knowledge.
Acknowledge, recognize.
But knowledge is that. Well,
you mean, because sometimes I'm going to thank you, Joe, right, that I acknowledge.